Yo, 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 ladies and gents, welcome to A Thompson and Other Disappointments, your twice, sometimes thrice weekly delve into the worlds of news, politics, dystopia, and all things awful. I am, of course, your host, Aid Thompson, and join me once more as we go gallivanting through these fields of gallows humour, as we try to make sense of the senseless, and as I try to wrap my darkness around your light. What's up to the Patreons? Big doff of the cap to you guys and to the YouTube community members. Always showing love to my Patreons and my YouTube community backers. Going to try and do a new, an in-person meetup again soon. It's not easy to do them because I don't have the best childcare situation, you know? It's not always easy to persuade my better half, my other half, to look after the kids at home, have them tearing up the walls, you know, nipping at her ankles when she's just trying to have a poo or do her work. And meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, do you mind if I nip out for a few hours and get absolutely smashed and, you know, make a bit of a fool of myself and then talk to me Patreons? Do you mind if I go out for a few beers with me Patreons, love? Go on, be supportive. So, I'm going to try and do another one of those. I was originally trying to do it for end of this month, end of March. But I don't think that's going to be doable now. I think it's going to have to be April. Maybe May. Maybe we'll sort of do it in time with the general election. This is the first story I wanted to talk about today, actually, was the rumour. The worst kept secret in Westminster, I'm told. The possibility or the near certainty that there will be a general election on May the 2nd. I don't know how much you guys have heard about this. If you are as glued to Sky News as I am. It's unhealthy. It's basically an addiction now. Not because I'm, you know, hopelessly addicted to Sophie Ridge, although that is also true. That's concurrently true. But that's not the reason that I'm addicted. I'm just addicted. Like, I need to drink in the information so I'm armed, so I can regurgitate it to you guys sarcastically and cynically. That's all. Like, I would feel like I was, you know, not offering you the full proposition. It wasn't value for money for the Patreons, for the community members, if I wasn't at least half informed about what I'm talking about. But yes, anyway, there's been an interview this morning, a Labour front bencher by the name of Jonathan Ashworth. And he says there is definitely an election coming in May. That is, I mean, he seems confident about that. And he's the second Labour front bencher who's come out. Do you remember Emily Thornberry said, but it was a couple of months ago now, she said it was the worst kept secret in Westminster. The worst kept secret in Westminster. I mean, I'm somewhat relieved by that. You know, firstly, because I would rather the election was happening sooner rather than later. Like, let's just get these guys out. But secondly, if this is the worst kept secret in Westminster, that actually reassures me that there's no more Chris Pinchers out there. You know, if this is the worst kept secret, maybe it's not quite the, you know, bubbling hive or cauldron of sex pests that we have all come to believe that it is. Anyway, so Jonathan Ashworth, Sky News this morning. He says there's definitely an election coming in May. He says, my challenge today to Rishi Sunak is to name that date. That's what Labour frontbencher Jonathan Ashworth has said. My challenge to Rishi Sunak today is to name the date, guys. So, I mean, it's not quite the challenge I would have tabled to Rishi Sunak. Like, if you could table any challenge to Rishi Sunak, what would that challenge be, dear listeners? If you could give him any challenge whatsoever, what would you challenge him with? What would you challenge him with? Me? I would say, can you run a public service without funneling the money out to your mates for billions of pounds? Is that possible for you to do? Ooh! Oh, it's like Krypton Factor, isn't it? Well, I really think I could probably do it. I really think I could. What challenge would you give Rishi Sunak? If you could give him any challenge, what would you give him? Would you challenge him to give some sort of national address without appearing like you're trying to cosplay a vicar? You know, what is it with his sermon tone? You know, I'm announcing this because it's important to me and my wife and my children. Like, it's so faux sincere. I don't believe a word he says. I don't believe him. He's a terrible actor. I challenge him to give some sort of national address where he doesn't adopt the Sermon Sunak tone. Is that possible, Rishi? Could you do that just once? What other challenges could we table to him? If I was a Labour front bencher being interviewed by Sophie Ridge or Beth Rigby or, you know, any of the others, what would my challenge to Rishi Sunak be? I think maybe I'd challenge... Do you think you could show a little bit of compassion? You know, when people are begging you for help against problems that you and your party have created, i.e. the mortgage crisis, the housing crisis, that any limitless numbers of crises, when they ask you for help, do you think you could show a little bit of compassion? Just a sniff of it, instead of talk to your bank, I guess, you know, hold your nerve and all that. Anyway, so the general election looks like it's going to be held in May. And it's a really timely interview, that, because me and some sort of, you know, activist, fellow content creator types this morning, we were only just saying, you know, when do we actually think this election is going to be? Because, you know, if they're going to announce it for May, I would have thought they would announce it like now, like it this week or next week, like, but you're not really hearing much more about it. And then out of nowhere, like this headline, election will definitely be in May. I'm like, how weird is this? We were literally just talking about it. So yeah, and oh my Lord, oh my Christ, is it going to be the worst general election campaign to date? It's going to be so bad. It's going to be, oh God. Like, do you remember the last one with the Fact Check UK stuff and Boris Johnson refusing to appear in the debates? What about the time when they did like the stats, you know, and they ran stats on the Tory campaign and the Labour campaign? They were like, about 90% of the Tory campaign material was found to be dishonest, disingenuous, outright fantasy, whereas the Labour stuff was like 5%. Also, we're at the end of the campaign by that point, and everyone's like, oh, well, great. So whatever the result is, it's based on this chunk of misinformation. All of that, just push that all to the side, because this coming campaign is going to be an utter abortion. Like, we already know that, like, Conservative councillors, aspiring Conservative MPs, candidates who are looking for re-election, CCHQ, donors, we already know from internal memos that have been leaked out to the press, we already know that a big part of their strategy is just to lie. Like, they're just saying that now. They're like, do you know what? It doesn't even matter. Just say whatever you need to say to win that person over. When you're doorstepping, if they say that you've let the local public services down, that you've closed the hospital or whatever, just say you had to do it because Labour something something. Just make something up. Just say Keir Starmer turned up at your house and threatened to kidnap your children unless you shut down the local care homes. Make it up. Just lie, guys. How has this not occurred to you before? If you've got no track record, if you've taken loads of money from donors, if you are hugely corrupt and you've just governed in self-service for the last 4 years, if you've got no discernible reason for these people to vote you back in, just lie about it. Like, how is this? How has that not sunk in yet? This is political campaigning, not nursery. You know, you should be honest and good at all times. No, this is British politics. Just lie your way back in. Is apparently the Conservative strategy that has leaked out already. So you're going to have dishonesty and disingenuous amped up to the nines. You're going to have deep fakes. I mean, I still don't think that's really sunk in to a lot of people out there. Just how dangerous AI and deep fakes are and are going to be in the upcoming general election. It may be that they don't quite touch the UK election in the same way that I think they're definitely going to in the US election. It might be that we just miss them, like somebody doesn't target us in that respect. But I absolutely think deepfakes are going to be deployed in a way that nobody is expecting for the coming elections. Probably here, though we might get away with it, definitely in the US. And you could bookmark this episode. You can say, on the 5th of March, 2024, Aide Thompson predicted this shit. Because you're going to see, like, I mean, I've talked about this a little bit before. But if you cast your mind back to that Fact Check UK thing, you know, at that point, they just had, what, a Twitter account? And this is before Twitter became X, and everybody could buy a verified badge. So CCHQ had a sort of an esteemed blue tick next to its name. CCHQ Press was the account. And that was the technology that was available to CCHQ at that time. Forget deepfakes just for a minute. Twitter was the technology they had at their disposal, and they chose to abuse it and exploit it by renaming their name from CCHQ, like it still had the handle, at CCHQ Press, but the name on the account, the logo, the cover photo, all of that was switched out in the middle of that election debate that was being televised, which is supposed to be an exercise in getting to the truth amongst the candidates. They switched all of that out to say Fact Check UK, and then they took each of the points that Labour were addressing or giving their manifesto figures or stats. They took those points, and then as Fact Check UK, they distorted them, misinformed them, and funneled that back out. Now, if that isn't the most dystopian, cynical shit you've ever heard of taking place in an election campaign, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that is, I remember that happening at the time. And I remember Emily Maitlis on Newsnight criticising James Cleverly, who was the Greg Hands of his day. He was Conservative Party chairman, so he was in charge of CCHQ, of campaigning. And I remember Emily Maitlis saying to him, like, this is dystopian. This is what are you playing at? And she said, did this happen on your watch? Did you sign this off? And he was really evasive and defensive about it, which makes me think, definitely him. So my point is, that was a technology that was available to CCHQ at that time. And they took the responsibility that they have to use it in a professional, sensible way with integrity and credibility in the middle of an election campaign, and they flushed it down the toilet to instead exploit it and funnel out misinformation to confuse voters and, you know, upset the apple cart, whatever the phrase is. So I always think, like, you know, if that's the tech that was available at that time and that's how they behaved, now move it along 4 years and you're into an era of deep fakes and AI. Do you seriously trust the Conservative Party, the Fact Check UK Tories, to use deep fakes responsibly in a more desperate election where they're further behind in the polls? You're expecting them to behave more honestly now, are you? These guys. Do you think the Conservative Party have got saner in the last 4 years? Do you? So yeah, man, look, this is going to be the worst election that you could possibly imagine. You're going to have misinformation, lying, obfuscation, deep fakes. God, it's going to be awful. But this is why I always say, like, you know, Labour play too nice, you know? Labour have to, like, they're always held to a higher standard, so I kind of understand why they do. But also, I think, you know, like, Keir Starmer, Emily Thornberry, Yvette Cooper, Angela Rayner, like, I like them. I think they've all got integrity. I think they're intellectuals. I think they're articulate. They're good communicators, mostly. But would it hurt Keir Starmer to hire in a couple of cunts? You know, just a couple of really, like, Machiavellian, mean-spirited, cruel lefties, you know? Because I'll volunteer for that. I don't, in the hugely unlikely scenario that Keir Starmer listens or watches this podcast, I just want to say I'm available. I'll do it for king and country, Keir. I will volunteer. I'll happily apply for that job to be Labour's secret weapon. I will be a cunt for Keir. That is my election promise. That's my selfless offering. I will be Labour's front bench Machiavellian mischief maker or whatever. I mean, I don't even know what, like, how would I do that? What would I actually do if I was a cunt for Keir? I suppose the most obvious example is to use something like 11 Labs, like an AI voice generator, to make it say something in the voice, in the perfect replication voice of a member of the Tory front bench. You know, something really embarrassing. But you've got to be really careful about this stuff. Because if you're going to make a Tory, a well-known Tory, effectively say something embarrassing or politically hurtful to them or to the Conservative Party, you got to think carefully, because you might mess around and then make them say something that actually improves their polling. Like if Lee Anderson came out and said, I hate black people, I don't like black people, there's actually a huge subset of Conservative voters out there who'd be like, oh, finally somebody said it. You know, I don't doubt it for a second that his polling would actually go up in some quarters of Conservative Britain. So you've got to be careful. You've got to think carefully about what it is that you make these guys say when you deep fake their voices. And I suppose the most obvious thing that you could make Lee Anderson say is that he fucks livestock. I mean, you could make him say that, like, because if you make him say something racist, like I say, a lot of them, they're going to kind of be like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. Or he's just telling it like it is. Or, you know, actually, there's a lot of us that are not signed up to multiculturalism. There'd be some segments of Conservative Britain, and indeed some corners of the Telegraph opinion section, who would probably be all right with it. But can you push that envelope far enough into the realms of unacceptability, into the realms of disgust, where even racist conservatives are like, well, I mean, I was on board with the banishing second generation immigrants. That sounded good. But when you started saying that you routinely fuck goats and lambs and cows and you can't get enough of it, I mean that's a bit weird, to be honest, Lee. There's people listening to the show now. They'd be like, what on earth is this? You know, I was on board with the talk about the tax cuts and the national debt aid. I happened across the alternative paper review and you made some good points about this and about that. Now I come onto your podcast and you're talking about fucking farmyard animals. What is wrong with you? I didn't sign up for this. And it's to those people now that I say, yeah, that's... I always say, like, this isn't Newsnight. This isn't the news agents or Question Time. This is punk politics, motherfucker. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's going to get worse. should we make Lee Anderson's voice say something now on 11 Labs on the show? Should we do it? Let's just do it, shall we? Here we go.
Hello, my name's Lee Anderson and I like badgers.
You know what we should do? It's as simple as that. Like, he always, like, bookends his sentences. There's always the caveat on there. He'll say something, blah, 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 and then he'll be like, it's as simple as that. That's, like, so we need to caveat with that. I think.
If you vote me out in Ashfield, I swear to God, I'll find your dog and bugger him. It's as simple as that.
I mean, it's not quite there, is it? It's not quite him. You can tell it's doctored. You can tell it's AI generated. But I quite like it. I think we're onto something here. I could be a Kunk Fakir, and with tools like this, I could excel. Guys, what else could we do? How else could we fight dirty with the tools at our disposal? We don't want to just sort of, you know, rename our Twitter account to Fact Check UK, because that's been done, but also everybody's got a verified badge now. I mean, even I've got one. That's how special they ain't. So we can't do that. What we have to do is think of new ways using AI and deepfakes and so on to... Oh, Midjourney. Midjourney AI is a... Right, let's get on this, shall we? Midjourney AI is like an image generation tool. You just type in what it is that you want to see, and then it will generate it for you. And I found this other tool the other day. It lets you take your face, you upload your face, and then you can just basically like graft it on to the image that you've generated. So it's, I mean, this seems perfect for my I'll Be a Cunt Fakir campaign. Here we go. Okay, so what are we going to do? Let's do a crying man in a top hat. Crying man in top hat with monocle in a sports hall full of voters and journalists at night time. How about that? And then you want the aspect ratio to be 16:9, so it's nice and wide. Let's do that. And then we need to find a picture of somebody. Who do we really want to see crying in a sports hall? I mean, top of my list was Jacob Rees-Mogg. But maybe somebody like, I mean, Jacob Rees-Mogg, it's possible that he'll survive this. So maybe what we do is we go for somebody like Grant Shapps or Jeremy Hunt, a bit more of a marginal. Dominic Raab, perhaps. I reckon Grant Shapps, because Raab, I don't think he's cried since he was like 8 years old when his stepdad forced him to bury his pet kitten alive to get rid of those feelings, that sympathy and love and compassion that he had as a child, forced him to bury the kitten alive, and he was so upset, he was crying, and he was so angry about it, and that's why he's got that bulging vein popping out the side of his head. He can never get rid of it. Constant reminder of the anger and the hate. Wow, don't know where that came from. Anyway, so let's go for Grant Shapps, shall we? Let's have a quick look for a picture of Grant Shapps. Then we have to add it as me. So save ID, me. We're going to add it in here. Here we go. Grant Shapps JPEG. Okay. Upload that. ID name me updated. Jolly good. Okay. Then we want to get a picture that's like, I reckon this one, because it's sort of face on. So let's go. Oh, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Upscale 4. Then we add Grant Shapps' face to it. Oh, do you know what? That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Look at that. He actually looks kind of weirdly happy, though, doesn't he? Why is he smiling? Maybe he's just relved. Maybe he's just like, you know what? It's all over. You know, I don't have to pretend to be someone that I'm not. Again, I don't have to pretend to be Grant Shapps MP or Michael Green or Sebastian, like whatever it is. It's all over. I can just go back to being your husband, June. I can just go back to being your husband and being the father of this family. Like, and his wife and kids are looking at him like, can we go back to pretending that you're someone else? Please? I mean, do you think that's how it started? Do you think it's like a bit of sort of marital role play that went a bit far? She was like, just don't be Grant tonight. Can you just have a break from being you? Can we pretend that your name is Sebastian? Sebastian, and you're a sort of web marketer. You're very successful. And he's like, yeah, okay. And he's like, well, if you're going to pretend that I'm some web marketer guy called Sebastian, like, can I pretend that you are livestock? Well, okay, all right. That's enough of that. Anyway, look at him. Look, he looks so happy. He looks so relieved. That it's all over. And I'm just here to say that, as you know, part of my Be a Cunt Fakir campaign, I'm willing to make this happen for you, Grant. This is my dream, my obsession.
Oh, Grant, me old mucker, do you want to go twos up on a llama?
I mean, look, I'm just saying, look, we can have some fun with it. We got to fight fire with fire. Labour are traditionally too nice. They're held to a higher standard. I'm just saying, I'm here for you guys. And also that, you know, after an episode like this, I totally understand why none of you want to come on the show as guests. Because I've tried, guys, I have tried to get members of the Labour front bench to appear as guests on the podcast. And for some weird, inexplicable reason, some of them maybe feel like my show and my sense of humour might be brand cancer to them. This close to a general election campaign. Angela Rayner seen guesting on vile, disgusting show that jokes about sex with animals. What does this say about working class Britain? Anyway, so yeah, look, that's a lot of fun, clearly, you know. AI deepfake audio, you know, grafting faces onto things and then using it as campaign material. It's all out there for our or your disposal. Labour comms, Labour HQ. Let's move on. So all of that is, you know, the UK election, you know, Sunak's polling through the floor. People are expecting it to be a May the 2nd election now. Over in the US, also an election year. Frequent listeners, frequent viewers will be very aware of that. And occasionally I sort of jump from one to the other. Today is one of those days, dear listeners. Today, I want to share with you, it's a clip of, it's a Trump voter. I've done a few of these now. It's a Trump voter. And you just judge for yourself. See what you think. Here we go. You ready? All right.
Okay, Trump 24 or before. What does that mean to you?
He's already president. He's already president.
Okay, so we're off to a good start. He's already president. He's not. He's definitely not. Biden is president. But 24 or before, I mean, that's got a sort of revolution kind of feel to it, isn't it? It's like, look, we're going to wait till 2024. But if we can storm the Capitol again and install him in the meantime, I mean, I would be open to that. That's what I'm sort of reading from. But, you know, it's not without its criticisms, this, given that we are already in 2024, right? I mean, 2024 or before, I'd be like, you understand that it is 2024 now.
Meaning Donald Trump is president now.
He's president now. I believe he is.
But how would that work? Because Joe Biden has been the president, right?
Been the president. Obama said that he would like to run a third term if he could sit in his basement and call the shots, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Oh my God. Does this woman actually think Obama is running the country from his basement? So we're off to a good start. 2024 or before, but we're already in 2024. So I don't know if this bitch knows what year it is. And secondly, Obama is secretly running the country because he once said that he would like to run for a third term. Okay, good stuff.
But you just said that it's Obama's third term, but also that Trump is president.
He's calling the shots at all this mess that's going on right now and all the disasters that he's caused. Yeah.
But how is Obama calling the shots if Trump is still president?
Obama is sitting back and telling Biden what to do.
But what is Biden if he's not the president?
He's a bumbling fool right now.
I love the fact he's just gently, like, trying to wrap logic around what she's saying, isn't he? He's like, well, how can, like, you say that Obama is still the president. Obama's running the country from the basement. So Biden isn't the president, but Obama is. But then you also say that Trump is actually the president. So if Trump is the president and Obama's running the show, like, What does that make Biden? Like, he's pushing her to explain this in a logical fashion. He's like, explain it. Who is he then? And she's like, well, he's a bumbling fool. That's what he said. Oh, he's a bumbling fool, is he? Because he's not the one standing here telling me something and there's major plot holes all through it. Can you explain it? Oh, he's a bumbling fool. Good. Okay. Excellent stuff. I really think we're dispelling the myth that all Trumpsters are morons here. Great job. I remember, like, so last week I did a video about Tucker Carlson, about Fox News, about America in general. And oh my God, like the amount of abuse I got. Like I went on Twitter, I was like, oh no, MAGA have found my YouTube. Oh no. Like, because the abuse that you get, the sort of willful display or advertisement even of their own ignorance is really a sight to behold. It's, you know, they just come galloping into my comments section like kittens into a dogfight. They're just, I mean, what was it? Like, I got the one guy jumping. He left me like 4 or 5 paragraphs of comment about it, about how he was really upset by what I said and how I'd got it all wrong and I just didn't understand America. And then I had a couple more that were just like, why aren't you sorting out your own country? And then I had another one going like, don't poke your beak into our business. And I'm like, oh, cool. Great. Americans telling other people not to poke their beak into geopolitical offense. Oh, that's good. That is good. That's my favorite. That is like Ted Bundy at the feminism convention. You know, going, I don't think you guys are treating your women properly. Well, maybe, maybe not, Ted. But frankly, I don't know if you are the person to make that argument with your blood dripping down your hands still. I know your VW, you know, yeah, thing with a woman's head hanging out of it. Like, I just don't know if you're the right guy to make that case, Mr. Bundy. Anyway, let's continue.
But why would it matter if Obama was telling Biden what to do if Biden's not president?
Say that again.
Why would it matter if Obama was telling Biden what to do if Biden wasn't president?
I mean, it gets to the point where it just feels cruel, doesn't it? You know, you watch a video like that, you just feel a bit mean, a bit bullyish for laughing at it. It's like, you know, trying to play chess with a dog and the dog can't play chess and then knocks all the board pieces over and so you're like, ha ha ha, I knew you couldn't play. I knew that you'd lose. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't fill me with the sense of victory and righteousness that I imagined perhaps it might. And yet, the victory over Grant Shapps when we see him crying in the sports hall, even though he basically doesn't stand a chance of being re-elected, that will fill me with unbridled, unrivaled joy. So, it's, yeah, it's funny. Right, I've got one more for you, and then I got to go. Let's have a quick look at this one. This is George Galloway, guys. So we're moving away from Trump. Now, well, actually, we're not really, because listen to what he says. Guys, just bear in mind, just bank this for a second before we jump into this. That George Galloway has just been elected to Parliament, I believe, for the fourth time. And a lot of people see George Galloway as a, you know, archetypal, traditional, old Labour boy. You know, where Labour has moved to the centre-right space, or where it has gone all woke and social justice warrior-y and all that stuff. He's supposed to be representative of the real, you know, old guard of Labour. So people see him as a sort of left-wing hero in some quarters. And I just want you to remember that for a second as we now embark on one of his latest videos post being re-elected to Parliament. Are you ready? Then we'll begin. Here we go.
What does Russell Brand nowadays talk about? He talks against the war in Ukraine. He talks against lockdowns. He talks against compulsory vaccinations. He talks against Big Pharma.
So yes, he does. He talks about all of those things. But do you know what? We have covered this in previous episodes of the podcast, that before he started talking about all of these weird alt-right conspiracy theory nonsense topics, before he was talking about them, his views on YouTube were just petering along at, like, I mean, look, I'm not one to criticize here, because the views he was getting on YouTube, it was about like 10,000 views for a video, 20,000 views, which I would obviously cut a nut off for, clearly. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much. It was only when he started talking about chemtrails and Big Pharma and stolen elections and all that stuff, that his views and thus his income exploded into another realm. So let's just, you know, let's not discount the obvious lucrative nature of or lucrative draw of Russell Brand talking about these things. Shall we, George? Let's just bear that in mind, shall we?
And I just wonder, as may you, if it is that has brought Russell Brand right over the target.
So in George's mind, it's not that Russell Brand has a checkered past of allegations where he's pinned women up against a wall, where he's forced himself upon them, where he's then subsequently apologized for the way that he treated them, and there's trackable like text messages and all that, and that there's separate women who didn't know each other who have corroborated each other's stories with regards to Russell Brand's behavior. It's not any of that. That is not probable, according to left-winger George Galloway. What is probable, according to him, is that he spoke out against Big Pharma. He's spoken out against Ukraine. He's spoken out in favor of Trump or questioned the 2020 election. And it's that that put a target on his back, apparently. Which is more probable to you, dear listeners? That Russell Brand is a sex pest? Or that there's some big conspiracy going on to silence dissenting voices?
I wonder if it was Russell Brand's interview with Tucker Carlson, another man who talks against the Ukraine war, another man who talks about and against Big Pharma.
So I don't think so, George. I don't think his interview with Tucker Carlson was the reason that there was a target placed on his back. Do you know why I think that wasn't the reason? Because he was already arrested and questioned for rape before the interview with Tucker Carlson. And all of these events took place years before the interview with Tucker Carlson. Do you understand how time works, Galloway? Well, I think time is a restrictive construct by the woke left establishment. Come on, George. Let's continue. George Galloway. Left-wing hero. Left-wing hero who's amping up alt-right hero Russell Brand. Is bashing Big Pharma and...
Another man who talks against lockdowns and the vax industry. By the way, Tucker, I hope you've led a blameless life. Because if I'm any judge, you'll be the next person in their firing line. Or maybe it was Russell Brand's interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that so attracted him to the fire, the flak, the millions of pounds worth of flak from these two pillars of British state orthodoxy, the Sunday Times and Channel 4. But it is remarkable that the video of Lauren Boebert being fondled and apparently enjoying it is clearer and much, much faster than any of the video from January 6th, the laughably described insurrection.
Okay. So, in case you weren't keeping a tally there, so far, left-wing hero George Galloway has questioned whether January the 6th was an insurrection. He's bashing Big Pharma. He's pro-Tucker Carlson, pro-Russell Brand.
Brand, Boebert, Kennedy, who will rid the establishment of these turbulent priests? That's the question you need to be asking yourself.
All right. I mean, the question I was asking was, where are Grandpa's meds?
Your dad's balls.
No more brandy for Grandpa, okay? Guys, that's it. I gotta go. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Keep it booge. Keep it Binfluencer. And I am out this motherfucker. Big thanks to the Patreons. Their names up on the screen. I'll see you Friday night.